It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
Among those essential workers who have achieved considerably increased appreciation during the COVID-19 pandemic have been postal workers, who have kept delivering mail pretty well throughout. The United States Postal Service has for decades seemed threatened by obsolescence, only to periodically find new services or needs, Netflix, for example, and then, of course, fulfillment of orders placed by internet shopping, especially in the pandemic, that have helped keep it going. Postal delivery is a lifeline in many rural areas. If the Postal Service gets a needed financial rescue, despite the president's resistance to helping an agency that does not act like a commercial carrier, it will likely be because rural Republicans in Congress know how much their constituents rely on the economical and essential services the U.S. mail provides. Not that the Postal Service hasn't had its challenges recently. Despite operating very dependably here in Columbia County, its performance in New York City has been spotty throughout the pandemic. At my law office, we've gotten emails from the post office with pictures of letters supposedly out for delivery to us, only to have the letters arrive 5 or 6 weeks later, and sometimes not at all. Paychecks mailed from Manhattan to my office manager, who has been working from her home in Brooklyn, are so often delayed or disappeared that we've taken to sending her 3 weeks' pay in advance to make sure she's not left payless. We have no idea how much important mail we may be missing. It was with no small trepidation, then, that I initiated my usual order this year for young chicks from the Freedom Ranger Hatchery in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. The chicks come, after all, by the U.S. mail. If the delays affecting our city mail were to carry over to the poultry shipments, that could dramatically endanger the birds' welfare. Chicks can be shipped by mail without food and water because after feeding on egg yolk throughout their incubation, they ingest extra egg yolk at the time they hatch, enough to sustain them for about 72 hours. Provided they're put in proper boxes with air holes sufficient for breathing and enough insulation to keep them warm, they can weather a shipment by mail very well. But they must arrive within 72 hours at most. The longer the trip goes on, the greater the stress and the lower the likelihood of survival. This may seem like one of those cutting-edge new services the post office has had to undertake in recent times to develop new revenue streams. In fact, it's a long-standing practice which dates back almost to the creation of Parcel Post itself. Parcel Post service was first instituted by the U.S. Postal Service in 1913. At first, the only animals explicitly permitted to be shipped by postal regulations were bees and bugs. The current bee shipping regulations instruct that a queen bee can only be shipped by air freight if she's accompanied by at least 8 attendant honeybees and if she's dropped off and met by, quote, alert personnel, unquote. But creative shippers immediately saw a wide range of potential uses of the service. Within the first year of Parcel Post, there were several people who shipped children, for example, to see their grandparents. And that's according to a Smithsonian Magazine article in June 2016 called A Brief History of Children Sent Through the Mail. It turned out that Parcel Post, which charged by weight, could be far cheaper than buying a train ticket for a relatively light child. You need only put sufficient stamps on your child's shoulder, on the back of the shirt there, along with a written delivery address, and the USPS would dutifully fulfill its mission. Mailing of children was controversial, of course, and was formally banned in 1920. Who knew this was the centenary of such an important event? But by then, in fact by 1918, the service of shipping newly hatched chickens had been instituted. With that 102-year-old service now comes a whole series of rules. The chicks must be certified to be not more than 1 day old. They must be in appropriately protective containers, stacked not more than 10 high. They cannot be shipped at a time that has them arrive on a Sunday or a holiday. The convention with all the hatcheries I've dealt with has been that they ship out on Mondays or Tuesdays, and the birds usually arrive Wednesday or Thursday. When I placed my order with the hatchery, the order clerk assured me that despite worrisome published notices that shipments could take 3 or 4 days this year, they were in fact being delivered in the usual time. They said I might have the birds in 1 day, but almost certainly 2. And sure enough, about 8:15 Thursday morning, approximately 36 hours from the time of shipment, Dave from the Germantown post office called to tell me that my chirping box had arrived. I hightailed it down there to retrieve them. Dave told me they were in far better shape than another box that had arrived from a different hatchery for another very upset farmer. I don't know where hers were coming from, but ours had the advantage of a relatively short trip from Pennsylvania in very warm 80-degree weather that meant the featherless little birds, huddled together in their cozy shipping box, were probably consistently in the 90 to 100-degree temperature they thrive in. Perhaps the other birds came from further away, or perhaps they traveled through wetter, colder conditions. I brought my carton, pulsing and chirping with life, back home, and Eric helped as we counted them out, first dipping each one's beak in water, and then in grain, so they got the idea of drinking and eating, as we then deposited them in their brooder box, with its mother plate, a Dutch-invented electrical heating plate they can get under, just as they would get under the feathers of the hen who brooded them, and there they keep warm. They are, I am pleased to report, thriving. It's a welcome little note of healthy normalcy in such an abnormal time. The Smithsonian Magazine article insightfully noted, The Smithsonian Magazine insightfully noted that while mailing one's children might be viewed as a negligent act, in fact, it's evidence of how much the postal workers were trusted, enough to make them responsible for the welfare of vital young lives. In shipping young chicks, the post office still clearly takes its responsibility for vulnerable lives in its care very seriously. It's such a wonderful feeling to trust our public servants to look out for vulnerable lives. If only we could have such trust in the utterly non-essential workers at the helm of our ship of state.